we've been hearing some very interesting results and indications from the RTE TG Cahir exit poll, as well as the usual questions on voting intentions and party support. There are very interesting outcomes to questions on Irish unity, Fine Gael's management of the economy, and immigration to Ireland. Elaine Loughlin, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, and Gary Murphy of the School of Law and Government in DCU have joined me in the studio now to take a closer look at the trends being suggested by this poll, with the usual health warnings that there's a margin of error between 3 and 4. And apart from that as a fact, I have this kind of searing memory of completely inaccurate polls about Brexit, getting it wrong on Trump. So that has put a bit of humility into all of us now to be very, very careful. But obviously it is indicative. Start with you, Gary. Stand out for you?
Well, it's clearly the big day for the Greens. People have said to you already on the show, Marion, it's 30 years since they had their first person elected, Roger Garland, famously, you'll remember, in Dublin South, I think it was, and there wasn't even a Green Party then, because they were sceptical about parties, they were sceptical about leaders, you'll remember. Europe has always been good to the Greens, of course. They won 2 seats in 94, they won 2 seats in 99, Patricia McKenna in Dublin, Noel Ahern in what was then Leinster. And then, of course, when they went into government in 2007, they found that very difficult, obviously, and were wiped out in 2011. It just goes to show the fluctuating nature of Irish politics.
Well, I was
we
just
see
thinking.
Them back and back with, you know, significant bang. Now, there is a warning on this, because European and local elections are second order, and there are different things come into play completely at a general election.
But if you take the wipeout that they experienced, with Fianna Fáil, and the bank crisis and the wipeout.
It was a bruising time
awful time for everybody.
Indeed,
really,
yeah.
Here. And they are back. I mean, they cannot be dismissed. And you look at Labour, and they took a terrible hammering.
In 2016, I mean, the Greens have always been a kind of a movement as distinct from a party. Now, they formed into a party following their counterparts all across Western Europe, when the green ecological movement of the 60s and 70s then became a political movement in the 80s and 90s. But I think what we're seeing in terms of this whole election, seems to me, is that party attachment is collapsing in modern Ireland. The old days where we were certain that Fianna Fáil would get around 40%, Fine Gael in the 30s, they're gone.
Yeah.
And we see it particularly on young people. We look at some of those astonishing results about Fianna Fáil, Brendan Smith getting 0% from the 18, 24-year-olds in Midland North West.
Let me bring you in on that, because that was nearly the first thing that leapt out at me, was just the change in support for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
And perhaps it's linked to the move and the sway towards the Green Party as well, because we see that this movement for climate action, climate change, protecting our environment, is coming from the young generation. We'd thousands out on the street in Dublin yesterday for another day of climate action, and many, many more on the first day in March. So it is, that push for climate action and climate change is coming from the new generation. So perhaps they're going away from what their grandmothers, their grandfathers voted for, their parents perhaps as well, to a certain extent, and the new generation now don't vote along family lines, or, you know, I'm a Fianna Fáil family or a Fine Gael family. That's civil war politics, perhaps, thankfully, is certainly diluting anyway and changing, and people aren't maybe as attached to one party as they used to be.
Is that a plague on all your houses mentality?
I think it probably is, and it'll be interesting to see how the votes do transpire as the days go on. I mean, we're looking probably at independence, anti-establishment independence, Claire Daly and Mick Wallace, Luke Fanning will all could get elected on these figures, and I think that suggests an anti-establishment trend, certainly. But I think it also shows that the Irish public might have short memories as regards forgiveness. Because Fianna Fáil, obviously, 5 years ago, this was their comeback election. They have held, I think, steady in locals, but the Europeans are very disappointing, it seems, on these figures, following with Barry Andrews struggling. And
tell me again
no
about
chance
age
of a seat in
profiles.
Age profile is...
What happened to the Fianna Fáil vote in the northern constituency, I'll say, just in brief?
Yeah, I mean, they're going by these figures, they seem to have picked up practically very few votes across the constituency. One of them, I think, is probably candidate selection. Brendan Smith and Anne Rabbitt, good, strong local politicians. Running two in 2014 proved disastrous for them. They didn't get enough votes this year where they did 5 years ago. And name recognition is crucial in these big beasts of constituencies in North West and South. And Billy Kelleher in South seems to have done very, very well. But I think Fianna Fáil will be worried about the lack of a first preference vote. I mean, when we all talk about transfers, which are crucially important, of course, but you've got to get a decent first preference vote to be in the hunt. And I think this is what's happening to Fianna Fáil. And it'll be interesting to see when the full figures come out, how young people have voted. Have they voted in significant numbers? And it seems on these trends they have. But again, we're probably only looking at over 50% of the people voting, one in every two.
And how does that reflect in age groups?
Well, we again would tend to see that the elder you are, the more likely you are to vote. But the green vote would tend to suggest, and we'd have to wait and see the figures, that young people have come out more strongly than probably in previous elections.
Mm-hmm. And it's important as well to note that there were two elections yesterday, locals and Europeans. And I think it's been alluded to that Europeans are a lot of the time personality driven as opposed to politically driven or party driven. So I think the parties themselves, certainly the two largest parties in the country, will be looking at the overall outlook of the locals as opposed to the Europeans. Fianna Fáil, I think, were very unfortunate in the Midlands Northwest constituency in the two candidates that they put forward. Neither really galvanised much support or momentum during that campaign. When you look at Maria Walsh, she was streets ahead and isn't even an elected representative, and we had two elected representatives put forward by Fianna Fáil. So it may be the case that it'll be the same outlook and same result as 2014 when they failed to get
like a self-inflicted wound, really. I mean, you've got to get your candidate selection right. Fine Gael would seem to have done that, particularly in Midlands North West, but they're not immune to it either, because their candidate selection in South seems to have went significantly awry with Andrew Doyle, I think, polling poorly. I think they expected he would poll better, and they clearly expected Deirdre Clune would poll better, being a sitting MEP. But sometimes you go to Europe and you disappear without a trace, and then you come back looking for the vote 5 years later, and the people will say, well, you know, what's been happening for the last 5 years? And I think she might be suffering from a little bit of that.
Yeah, well, the writing was on the wall as well with Deirdre Clune, certainly in recent days. We had the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste out canvassing in Cork for her in the dying moments of this campaign. Massive amounts as well of money put into her campaign. Exactly. And as well, we had letters sent out by the Agricultural Minister asking members of Fine Gael to vote for her ahead of Sean Kelly. They knew Sean Kelly was safe, and the polls seem to suggest that.
It looks like he's
safe. Yes, the polls are suggesting that, and they knew she was in trouble.
Yeah. I presume, we may presume, that we needn't expect a general election anytime soon.
No, I can't see why the Taoiseach would want to pull the plug on his government. You know, power attracts, and he's in power, and the general election could see him out of power. Based on these numbers, the percentage at local elections, which I think is important, is at 23%, the same as Fianna Fáil. Now, the poll said in a general election that would go up to about 27%, but that's still 3 or 4% behind where they really need to be pushing for to try and form a government with other parties
group,
as distinct from the confidence and supply. So you're looking at people like the Greens, like the Social Democrats perhaps, like Labour, although it's a really terrible day for them, and it goes back to what you mentioned earlier, Marion, about 2016. I mean, they are so becalmed as to be barely afloat, it seems to me. So, but on these figures, I can't see the Taoiseach being interested in an election. And the other person who can call an election, of course, is Micheál Martin.
Yes.
And remember, he, I think, has just one last chance. He obviously led Fianna Fáil in 2011, and that was a catastrophe, although they survived. He had a very good out in 2016, got close, but not enough. I think they give him one more chance in the next election, but they won't give him a fourth chance, Fianna Fáil. I can't imagine that happening. We heard Patrick Cope Gallagher come out very sternly earlier on this morning.
Postmortems,
a significant postmortem was needed. And Micheál has always had a few enemies within the party. So, although there's no obvious alternative anyway, so he'll hardly be in a rush on these numbers to call an election.
Okay.
The only caveat that with that, Marion, though, is we will be forced into some sort of an election, judging by the polls anyway. We're likely to have 3 sitting TDs elected to the European Parliament.
Of course.
Which will force a by-election within the next 6 months.
And that could put the cat among the pigeons.
Exactly. Yeah. So does the Taoiseach risk upending and changing the confidence and supply through a by-election, or does he go straight to a general election? I would agree, though, that the results don't seem to favour any of the 2 larger parties above the other. They're neck and neck here, so it's not a good result if you're looking at going into a general election for either.
I think what it shows, Marion, is that campaigns matter now in Ireland much more so than they did before. We saw it in 2016, where Fianna Fáil, I think, were about 7 or 8 percentage points behind Fine Gael in January of 2016, and by polling day they were within 0.5%.
Yeah.
We saw... Is that
social media or is it old-fashioned?
I think there's a bit of both. I think it's a bit of both. I mean, clearly, I thought Micheál Martin had good television debates, and good television debates now are important. We saw with Saoirse McHugh, who was on with you earlier, the star performer during the week on the RT debate. We also all know what happened with Sean Gallagher back in 2011. Yeah. So television counts still, okay. Radio counts, and I think campaigns matter in Ireland more than they have previously.
And that's something that we might be talking about later on with campaigns in Britain in a different context. There were a couple of other things. I mean, I was very much taken by surprise at people's view of the running of the economy, about unity, about a whole heap of change, that 90% of people want to prioritise climate change, and there's a little bit in the back of my head saying, yeah, of course you do, as long as it doesn't interfere with the quality of your life. Now, let us go to, if there were a referendum tomorrow on a united Ireland, talk us through the results of that.
Yeah, well, I think 65% of people would be in favour of United Ireland tomorrow. If I was a government, I don't think I would be running to call a referendum on that number, because you have to remember this is without people maybe engaging it fully with the conversation, thinking it through, thinking the economic consequences and all the changes that would have to happen if we did have a United Ireland. I think I'd rather be up perhaps towards the 80% before a poll was called, just to be certain that you'd get it over the line.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about it says if it were called tomorrow, but it doesn't kind of ask, do you want it to be called tomorrow? Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, no, indeed. I think Sinn Féin will be emboldened, and I think it's on the polls, it looks like it might be a tough day for them. They would be emboldened by the yes in favour, because, of course, they've been the dominant party.
Most Irish people have always been told about a united Ireland as a long-term dream.
And instinctively, a lot of Irish people would say, yeah, you know, Fianna Fáil, the great national movement, that was their dominant motif, was united Ireland in the lifetimes of both De Valera, Lamass, Hockey and others, and of course we're still waiting. So I would, I think you have to treat these with a slight grain of salt. And people they come out of the polling station, they're asked how they voted, they tell the pollster, and then they're struck with these all other questions, which they haven't really deliberated upon. Elaine and myself were discussing this just before we came on here. So I think these questions, while useful as sort of general trends, need to be treated with caution. And of course, again, and I reiterate this, but I think it's a valid and important point, is when these things are actually put in front of you at an election time, referendum time, and there's a campaign, you know, things can change quite dramatically.
Well, people like Seamus Mallon, who was here last week, would be just begging people not to go now and to go on 50% plus one. I imagine that there would be a very complex debate in the country about
and
it.
And also, if you take into account Brexit, which is no sign of being resolved, notwithstanding what Boris Johnson has been saying, and you know, how does that impact? And again, when we're in choppy economic waters, as we are, people instinctively, we might say, yeah, you know, I think United Ireland would be a good idea. And then if you're told this would cost you 2% in income tax or whatever, then you're saying, well, maybe on second thoughts, no.
the immigration. There were kind of contradictory things within the questions on immigration.
Yes, and again, we had a discussion before coming on air about this, and I think sometimes it does come down to the way the question is framed, perhaps, and whether a person has actually had an in-depth conversation about it or has ever really engaged or thought about it before.
Yeah.
I think one of the questions was, are you... what is your view on immigrants coming in and freeloading on the system? Kind of the rhetoric that we heard from
Peter Casey. Yeah.
And I think if you asked people, are you in favour of anyone, regardless of whether they're Irish or they've come into the country, getting a free ride on the taxpayer, they'd probably say no. But then people were very open to immigration and believe that it has been good and it has been positive.
That it had been very good for Ireland.
So both contradict each other. Both answers are at odds with one another.
And I think, sorry, Elaine, I think it would be interesting to see how that breaks down on age grounds as well. You know, I just know from my own son playing football, half the team are basically immigrants or the children of immigrants.
Go into a hospital if you didn't have immigration, you could close the doors.
Indeed, and there's it seems to me a much more wider acceptance among young people. They just, you know, they just get on with their lives and these people are their friends. But I would be interested to see what the breakdown of that further. But I think there's something heartwarming in many ways about it, that the Irish people have been welcoming for the most part. And also, if we look at the result for Peter Casey, I think a disappointing result for him after his brilliant performance.
Well, it wasn't a bad performance all the same.
Well, I mean, he talked about getting elected, and now we're looking at him getting, was it 7% or so?
Yeah.
I mean,
if you look at what Labour got.
Yeah, but he got 23%, remember, in the presidential election.
Yeah.
And I think I remember Marion being with him here with you on the day of the country. Remember, he was extremely bullish, talking about new political parties and stuff like that. And I think it's somewhat chastening for him. It was also striking to me on the debate during the week that he was a lone voice in talking about immigrants coming in and, you know, gaining welfare benefits that they weren't entitled to, etc., and freeloading and not wanting to work like he did when he emigrated. But that hasn't resonated with the public, it seems to me. And I think that might also be seen in this the answers to these questions.
And I think the presidential election was completely different to the EU elections in the sense that he was perhaps the only candidate that stood out as having alternative views and being this anti-establishment candidate, whereas you had in Midlands Northwest very popular poll topper Luke Ming Flanagan, who obviously doesn't have as radical or
He's controversial got very radical ideas, but not on
immigration, certainly. So perhaps some of the votes would have gone to Luke Ming as opposed to Peter Casey in this instance.
Even his first preference vote has declined quite dramatically from his barnstorming performance in 2014.
Which was fantastic, wasn't it?
And I think he also has suffered a little bit from being over in Europe and not being at the coalface of what's going on the ground in...
It's very hard to do the job.
It's extremely difficult.
Mairead McGuinness, I was listening to the coverage during the week and I was trying to put myself in her shoes and I'd say she was spitting mad because everybody said, shoe in. Guaranteed, not a problem. And you're thinking, oh, if you were she. I mean, that's what politicians hate.
Indeed, they do. But I mean, she, I think, has been very strong on Brexit, and Brexit is the dominant issue, I think, of our time politically, along with the never-ending question of when there'll be in a general election, given the confidence supply issues. And she has figured it out, though, more than anyone else, how to make an impact in Europe while remaining very popular in her constituency. I think the interesting thing for Fine Gael is the big vote for Maria Walsh, and I tend to think that's a personal, might be more of a personal vote, attracting young people by her very energetic and social media driven campaign. I mean, she put out a video during the week about the 1990s, mentioning once about, you know, what she was standing for, what the policies were. But it was my own daughter who's voted for the first time was very struck by that. So
different ways. Marion, have we learned? This is a caller. Have we learned nothing from the Brexit fiasco? The poll on a united Ireland is scary in that such a complex issue should not be decided by a yes or no question alone. As Seamus McMallon has said, I quoted that, do we want to replace one dissatisfied and fearful minority with another?
Yeah, and of course, the other thing is we don't have the right to call this this referendum. Right. We can call a border poll, which is a completely different thing in many ways than saying, you know, do you want a united Ireland? Or, you know, if you vote yes, we're going to have a united Ireland. I mean, it is a very complex question because while I made a point about party attachment kind of, you know, dramatically falling in the Republic, it's very strong in the North. Sinn Féin are very strong, as we've seen in recent elections, as are the DUP. In many ways, the manifestation of loyalty to the parties is stronger in the North of the country, in Northern Ireland, than it is here in the Republic.
OK, I want to read out a couple of more texts and then I'll take a break. As the younger generation to pay for the Greens' policies, half of them that voted haven't even earned their first wage package. Well, I'm sorry, folks. That is, them are the rules, 18 and you have a right to vote. Another says, will the young generation be willing, this is real generational stuff, will the young generation be willing to pay carbon taxes and pay for retrofitting their parents' houses? Will they stop using air transport? And another says, the young are following the Twitter trend. Will they walk the walk and stop using showers, mobile phones, etc.? I don't think so. And then another, if young people vote Greens, a partnered government associated with corruption and destroyed the economy that chose that experience, not youth is the experience, not youth is the most important thing. That's interesting.
Yeah, certainly a massive backlash against the young. Well, we're assuming that it's the young generation who voted Greens. But based on the polls that RTE have done in the last 24 hours, it's not just the young people who voted. You know, you have Ciarán Cuff in the Dublin constituency on almost a quarter of all vote first preferences, and he's likely to actually top two polls now in the Europeans, and he also did run in the locals. He'll obviously have to give up that seat if he is successful right. in the Euros. So based on the polls, it's not just a young vote for the right. Greens. It was broad-based and across generations.
And we should be encouraging young people to vote.
Absolutely.
And voting is really important, as we see today. You know, our democracy flourishes when people go to vote. In one way, I could say 50-odd percent is very disappointing. We should be aiming for higher. Like, we get around 70%, as you know, in general elections. But we want our young people to vote, would be my view
right.
of this.
I would share that view. I'm not supposed to have a point of view, but I certainly have a point of view on that. Now, thank you very much to Elaine Loughlin and Gary Murphy, and we are going to, I presume you won't get a wink of sleep now for the next 48 hours. We'll take the break.